the climax of the incarnation, the climax of Jesus' earthly ministry is, of course, his suffering, his atoning death, and his life-giving resurrection from the cross. But Jesus knew that that final act and perfect obedience to the Father's will, while it would accomplish the salvation for the world, would be a challenge to his followers, to their faith, and so he tried to prepare them as best he could for that coming event. Three times in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus tells his disciples what awaits him in Jerusalem, that he will be turned over, suffer, die, but rise on the third day. Last week, we heard the first account of that, and you remember it followed the profession of faith by Peter as to who Jesus was, the Christ, the Anointed One. And then Jesus gave them the teaching about the cross, and Peter took him aside to rebuke him. They didn't want to hear about suffering. They didn't want to hear about the cross. But Jesus rebuked Peter and told the disciples, "You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." And then he gave them a teaching about following him. Any disciple of his must lay down his life, take up his cross to follow him. Today, we have the second foretelling of his passion and another teaching on discipleship. Jesus tells them, but their reaction is a little different. Nobody questioned him, said they didn't understand, but they were silent. They didn't want another rebuke, apparently, as Peter had gotten last week. And so they were quiet, but then as they were walking down to Capernaum, to his home territory, Jesus overhears this conversation. And of course, he says, when they get to the house, he calls them. He says, "What were you arguing about on the way, on the journey?" Of course, again, they were silent. They didn't want to tell him because they had been arguing about who was the greatest. Who is going to be the leader if Jesus is going to die? Which one of us is going to be the leader? And apparently more than one thought they were capable of that. And so they were arguing about the greatest. And Jesus could have rebuked them. He could have corrected them in a harsh way, but he doesn't. He just pulls a chair out and sits down and he says, "Come here, you 12. I want to talk to you. I want to explain to you what greatness is in the kingdom. What it is when you think as God does, not as human beings do." And so he begins to tell them that in the kingdom, in God's view, servanthood is what it means to be great. Greatness is related to service. And so he tells them that humility, a serving heart, a generous heart to serve others, those are what makes one great in the kingdom. He said, "Indeed, the first must become last and the servant of all." And you'll recall that Jesus will tell them elsewhere that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for all. And so those who want to follow him, those who want to be his disciples, we too should see service as the measure of greatness in the kingdom. But just to make sure they got it, he took a child, put it in their midst, and put his arms around the child. You know, elsewhere, he told us that unless we become like a child, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. Children at that time and still are totally dependent on the care of others, especially the young ones. They're dependent on somebody giving them shelter, giving them protection in the world, giving them nourishment and food. And when that doesn't happen, they're at risk. And he wants us to be totally dependent on him. But I think he meant something more by putting that child in their midst and putting his arms around it and embracing the child. I think what he's telling them is, you must be the servant of all, everyone. Now, not everyone in the sense of every person in the earth, none of us could handle that. But he meant the servant of anyone. Anyone whom you see who is in need. Certainly those on the margins of society, the homeless, the hungry. But you know, you don't have to go to food shelters or homeless shelters or downtown Indianapolis at night to see needy people. They are in our midst. And truth be told, we're all a little needy. We all have needs. We all need to be loved. We all need to be affirmed. We all have needs. And so Jesus is saying to be a servant of his, or to be a disciple of his, is to be a servant who looks for and sees those who need our servanthood. And then we reach out to them in different ways because their needs are different. I think rather than looking to the food pantries and the homeless shelters and so on, many times the people in need are right in our midst. The next time you have a family gathering and you have the cousin that's obnoxious and nobody wants to have anything to do with. Yeah, I have a family too. And some of them, I'm sure, think that about me. You know, I'm the pebble in someone's shoe, I've no doubt. But sometimes they're close to us, and when people like that, sometimes the most needy, they push people away by their actions. None of us want to be around them. And so they, maybe if we took some time to spend with them, maybe all they need is someone to listen to them. Oftentimes people just walk away from them. And maybe if you just sat and listened, you could serve that person and they might feel affirmed that they don't otherwise get. And it might open doors for you to be of even more service to them. But we need to be affirming others, on the lookout for others. The real danger is that we don't even see the people in our midst who need our servanthood. And so Jesus says, you have to be on the lookout, but you have to be willing to be a servant of his. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, who did provide service to the poorest of the poor in India, said once that she didn't serve the poor because they looked like or were like Jesus. She served the poor because they are Jesus. And that's true of anyone in need, and that's what Jesus is telling us today. Every person who has needs has to be open for your servanthood. Look for them. So this week, I just invite you to spend some time in prayer, asking the Lord, who in your life are you overlooking? Who in your life needs you to be a servant to them, and you haven't even seen it or recognized it yet? And then act on it. Do it, for you will truly be serving Jesus.